Tuesday the 1st of July, Kochfest Sivan, Dr. Yossi Adler, should medical treatment ever be withheld?
I'd like to thank the organizer for inviting me here again. It was with some trepidation that I chose to say a few words on this topic, because it is something which is so omid brumah shel olam, din in froshes, and certainly I don't want to give an impression that anything we say here today is a psak halacha lemaisa. All it can do is perhaps indicate to people when shailas need to be asked and what the directions shailas should take. The trepidation is perhaps increased by seeing Roy Tatsir, who knows much more on this topic than I do. But the purpose is really just to point to a few principles and a few Myra Makomas, and then perhaps come out to be able to just say a little bit about what Poskim say in some situations as a general guide. As a matter of general introduction, we have to understand that our attitude towards life in general, and medicine in particular, is different from that of most of the goyim around us. And there's a few ways in which this is manifest. In the Goyish world, there's a lot of discussion about quality of life, and of course quality of life is of extreme importance, but when it comes in general, a question of quality versus quantity, in general we will always opt for trying to maximize quantity of life, even if it's a difficult life, even as against even if it's of relatively low quality. And one way of looking at it, my father-in-law Shalom sort of coined this idea, is that we consider life to be of infinite value, and if you divide infinity into any part, it remains infinite. Therefore, a moment of life has got as much value as 100 years of life, because you can't divide infinity into different points. And therefore, even if sometimes all we can do is prolong life perhaps by a few minutes, that in itself has a chashivas. And we say, kol hanshama tahale kol neshima neshima, every breath that a person takes itself is a praise on a ruach mystic level, is a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we try to maximize life to the best of our ability, using the kalim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. The other basic principle that we have to understand is that we're not the owners of our life. Our bodies don't belong to us, they're purely a pikkodon which has been given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for however long He puts us and allows us to be in this world, and our job is to look after that pikkodon as best as we can. And therefore, just as if you're looking after something for somebody else, you wouldn't be able to say, well, now this thing's not of any value anymore, let's destroy it, give it up. You can't do that because it's not yours. Your own object you can sign when to throw away. Somebody else's object you've got no rishus over. With this understanding, perhaps we should look at a few sugyas and see how this can help us and guide us in our attitude towards this. The first one, which is always quoted, is the Gemara in Ksuvos, Kostalad, where the Gemara says that on the day that Rebbe died, all the Talmidim were davening very hard that he should survive, that he should be saved, and there was Amsa who saw what was going on, a maid servant who saw what was going on, and it says, she saw he had some kind of stomach complaint and he had to keep going to Beis HaKisei, he had to keep taking off his tefillin and putting on his tefillin. It was a great tzar. Omra Yehi Rotson Shiyokofu Elyonim Etzaktonim. They've been davening that Etzaktonim should be able to override the Elyonim and he should be saved. She said Yehi Rotson that the Elyonim should be successful to take Rebbe away. V'lohav Shofkar Abonim Miloboy Rachmei. But the Chacham still carried on davening. So Shok L'Kuzah Shadjim Me'igra, she took a lamp and she threw it down to the ground. Ishtaku, or an oil jug, and she stung down to the jug. Ishtaku merachmei v'nach nafshei derebi. The noise made a big noise, and that moment that the noise came, they stopped davening, and in that moment it sort of stopped, and Rebbe died. And the Gemara says, it's the Gemara in the Dorim Dafnem, says that a person can only got a right to daven for a chayle if he goes to visit him. And it says, kol she'ein mevake chayle, ein mevake sholav rachmin, lo she yichhia v'lo she yomus. If somebody doesn't go and visit the chayla, he hasn't got the right to daven either that this person should live or that this person should die. Mashma, if he does go and visit him, under some circumstances, he would be mesabala that this person should die. And the Ran says there, this is what we see from this. And so that she was correct, the Chiddush is that she was correct rather than the Talmidim who continued to daven. But the Ran passes like that there, and he says that Pa'omim Tzorot Lebakesh Rachim Al HaChodeshi Yom. Sometimes the correct thing is kiven shemit star achola b'chol yahabe. What's the criteria? If there's a great deal of tzar, the person is suffering a lot, then it's sometimes correct to be mitzvah that the person should die. If in any case yes, you should owe yichyeh, something impregnated. So Rambam seems to say two criteria. One is that the person is suffering, and the second is yes, you should owe yichyeh. In any case, not going to survive long term, which seems to be that we're talking about somebody who's terminally ill and he's suffering. Says the Rambam, under those circumstances, it could be correct that doesn't to be mitzvah the person should die. And we find actually the same thing with Rabbi Yochanan, that when Rish Lakish died, he didn't have any chavrusa to learn with, and that was a tremendous tzad. He didn't have a proper chavrusa, and the Bar Rabban Rachmei Olei Avonot Nafsho, and the Chachamim were mispelled that he should die because of this tremendous tzad that he didn't have anybody to learn with, and it says that he died. Although it's interesting that Gemara doesn't seem to be brought down, the halacha is not mentioned in the Poskim, but the original halacha is brought down that there are situations in which a person can be mispelled, although they should be yom. Come back to that in practice later on. Says Ramosha Feinstein, passing on the basis of this, that if you're allowed to daven for somebody to die, there must be situations in which you stop treating them. Because it doesn't make sense to say that you're giving them all medical treatment, and at the same time you must follow that they should die. As Boskin, Rav Waldenberg, says absolutely not true. It's quite conceivable that you should be mechuyev to give medication, you're treating the patient, you're putting up drips, you're doing whatever you can, and at the same time you're being mispalel that this shouldn't be successful. Whether it's successful or not, without Tzadkish Baruch Hu, it doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't got your ishtadlus to do your ishtadlus at the same time as you're being mispalel that it's not being successful. And that's a basic machlokes apotkin, whether we can generalize tefillah to medical or other interventions. The so they quote then refer to Gemara in Yuma. The same Gemara in Yuma says that if somebody's gal falls on somebody, there's a pile of rubble and somebody's buried under it, you can dig under the rubble to save him on Shabbos. And it says Matsu Chai, if he's dead, obviously you can't do Machal Shabbos. But you can find that he's still alive, Mafakhin, and this Gemara says cheater, why do you need to tell that he's alive? You have to look for him. So Gemara lo tricha afila lachai shal. The Kiddush is that even though he's not going to survive in any case, you can still be Machal Shabbos, even if you know that the result of this short Shabbos is going to be that it's only going to save him for a short time, for a few minutes. So the Gemara, the Poskim say from there that even if it's only going to be for a very short time, not enough time that he's actually going to survive, he's not going to be able to do any more mitzvahs, he's not going to be able to keep any more Shabbos, we don't Poskim Pashtus like the Shitta that the reason of Machal Shabbos is because somebody be able to keep Kadesh Yishma Shabbos Habe. Even if he's not able to keep any more Shabbos, you still have to be Machal Shabbos for somebody. There is a Meiri and a Gine Ashas or a Mashma that the reason is because he might do Tshuva, but most Poskim don't even say like that. And the Lashon of the Rambam is, also it's not there, because Shabbos Chodesh Yesh Vesekana, because it's Ashayatam V'chai Bohem V'loish Yomazben, L'madatosh Ein Mishpatei HaTorah Nekoma Ba'olam El Arachamim V'chesed V'sholem Ba'olam. And the Indian of preserving somebody's life just for the sake of that life, independent of what he can be able to do with that life, and therefore you can be Machal Shabbos even for somebody who's buried under a gal, who's obviously only going to survive a very short time. So says Rauenberg, for example, another Poskin, that you see from this Gemara that you can be Machal Shabbos even for somebody whose life is only going to be preserved for perhaps a matter of minutes. Nevertheless, you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos. If you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos for him, then surely you must have a chiyuv to treat him. If you have somebody in a similar situation, if the Gemara says you can go as far as being Machal Shabbos to save that person's life, it doesn't make sense to say that you haven't got a chiyuv to treat him in that circumstances. The other Poskim, Ramosha, for example, says that's no raya at all. Because, Rav Otten brings down also in Sheikh Halevi, that you can't bring your eye from there, because there may be different situations. In other words, perhaps in this situation, where the person is buried there, you have to do what you can to preserve his life, trying to prolong Chai Shah as long as you can, but we don't know what degree of pain he's got. There may be other criteria. For example, the overriding thing we said previously was that if somebody was the Tsar, you could daven for them, that they shouldn't live longer. So it could be that if the person is under the gal and he's suffering and he's in pain and he's begging you, don't save me, leave me, perhaps you haven't got a chiyuv with it. We haven't got any raya, just because you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos in some situations, that you've got a chiyuv to treat in all situations. So again, the machlokes and poskim to what degree, what relevance this Gemara has got to us. There's a very interesting Yalkut in Parshas Eker. In the Yalkut says, the Meister B'Sha'achat, there was a story of a lady who was very old, and she said to him, "This kanti yotin da got too old. my life is not worth living. What interesting reason. I can't taste my food, and therefore life is not worth living anymore. So I mean, I don't want to live anymore. Do you have any mitzvah that you do every day? So she said, whatever I'm in the middle of doing, I leave it and I go to the Beit HaKnesset every day. I go to shul every day. Don't go to shul for 3 days consecutively. She did that, she didn't go to shul. On the third day, she became ill and she died. So it seems that it was permissible for her to avoid doing something which she was keeping her alive, and as a result of that, to cause her death. And you find actually a similar Gemara in Sefer. The Gemara says there was a place called Luz, which is a very interesting place, which couldn't be damaged, and nobody died. The Malach HaMoveth had no reshut to go into Luz, but it says the Kenim Shabbat, so what did people do when they got very old? The Man Shabbat had Kots and Aleim, they were sort of set up. They knew if they went out of the wall of the city, then they would die. And it seems from there that they didn't have a chiyuv to stay in the city, so that they shouldn't die. So therefore, from the poskim, particularly Rav Moshe says, you see from here that there are situations when somebody is ill, when somebody's suffering, that they're not mechuyev suddenly to do things to prolong their life further. Nobody's talking to about doing something active to shorten their life, but all they're doing is staying in the city is maintaining their life, so they can go out of the city, and then their life is no longer, this protection is no longer there, and they can die. And then similarly with the lady. Other poskim, particularly again Rav Hornberg, says you can't bring life from skulas. There's a total complete difference between skulas, which we don't understand how they work and they've got no meaning, and medical treatment. The skula is something that whoever says this works, that works, that works, you either follow it or you don't follow it. But since there's a chiyuv to undertake medical treatment, there's a chiyuv of chaydohem to do one can take medical treatment, one can't generalize medical treatment on the basis of gemaras or midrashim, which refer to skulas. In halacha, the main sugya which the poskim talk about is the Ramah in Yerodea, which talks about a goetzes. And we'll come perhaps into a minute exactly what the definition of a goetzes is, but suffice it to say at the moment that a goetzes is somebody who is in the final stages of their illness, somebody who's in the last terminal phase of their illness. And the Ramah, based on a Sefer Chassidim, says, "Ofta ligrim lemeit shiyomot mehera." You're not allowed to do anything. If somebody's in the process of dying, someone's not allowed to do anything to speed up that process, to make them die quicker. So when she goes, this man, orifle, yichol, porid, he's a ghost, and somehow the neshama is not able to escape. Also, the shomayt akava kesin tafsir. You can't even take a pillow away from him under his head because that process, taking the pillow, might cause him to die more quickly. But carrying on a bit later, avon yesh dovah shigorim ikafisiyat nechesh. There's something there which is preventing him from dying. The goyish somach loke beitkol dofik and chotavetim. Somebody's banging wood outside the window, and that noise is stimulating him, and the banging of the wood is stopping the neshama from going. Or melech alashen, he's got some salt on his tongue, and that seems to prevent the neshama from going out. These things are ma'aksim yitzias ha'nefesh, mutzal ha'asirim neshama, you can remove those from there. The aim b'zeh ma'itaklal, that's not any action, el shemeseh ha'maneh, you're removing something which is artificially preventing the person from dying. So the yesod which the Ramah says is you can't do anything active to precipitate, to speed up the process, but you can do things, or your curiosity is even to do things which are preventing the death from taking place. You remove the thing which is preventing it as well, that doesn't die. And on the basis of that, there's a famous machlokes between Beit Yaakov and the Shuk Yaakov, and this can be extended to refuah. So Beit Yaakov says that if you're allowed to remove these things which prevent you from nefesh, it's clear that it must be offered to give a refuah to that person, because you're allowed to let nature take its course, you even have to prevent, do things which are stopping nature take its course. Therefore, to give medications is a total contradiction to that. Whereas the Shuk Yaakov says, no, these things are all unproven, but like I said before, these things are skulas, these things are unproven remedies. That doesn't mean that you're not mechuyev. You've got a remedy, something which might really work. That doesn't mean that you're not mechuyev to try and treat that person to the best of your ability, even in that situation. The question is to what relevance this command has. Again, Rav Moshe says that this is very relevant to Ashayla, that the thing which is relevant, important about this basis is that he's suffering. The process of Yetzias HaNefesh is a situation of suffering. Somebody is never in a situation where the Nefesh is trying to go out and come out is a situation of suffering. And Rosh Hashanah says you can generalize this to a general situation where somebody is number one terminally ill and number two is suffering, you can you can remove things which prevent nature taking its course in those situations. Other postulants get very upset about this, and they say this is a specific situation. A ghost is not our normal person who is in a state of terminal ill, whether they've got pain or whether they've not, because a ghost is, we've got specific definitions of what a ghost is. The Shulchan Aruch says a ghost is, if somebody said we saw that your relative was a ghost, that he has to sit shiv with him after 3 days. So that means a ghost is somebody who cannot possibly survive for another 3 days. And that's a much more rare situation that you can say this person is definitely in a situation where, under natural circumstances, he won't live for another three days. And in Ibn Ezra brings down what's the definition of a ghosis, and it says Indian ghosis who shikarav lemisa mala lecha begroinam in a torat achayza. There's sort of secretions coming up into the throat, the terminal stage of life where you only got minutes or hours to live, and therefore that's a very specific situation which says the Rambam and the Poskim you have to consider on its own merits. But in the vast majority of cases which we're talking about, this is not relevant to us at all, and you can't do anything you can do to prevent the Tishah Nefesh, you have to continue to do. There's one more other Gemara which is of great importance, or Tosafot actually in Vayikra Gemara, that Gemara says that L'chai shol lo chashinan, in connection with Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to go to Goyish HaBava because you're scared that he might do something to you and finish you off. In other words, there's a doctor and you're worried that the treatment he gives you might finish you off, and therefore you're not allowed to go to him. But says Gemara, if somebody was in any case dying, L'chai shol lo chashinan, we don't worry about a short amount of life, and you're allowed to go to him. So points out that what that means is you shouldn't think the Chai Shah the Hashina. Gemara is saying that we're not worried about Chai Shah. Of course we're worried about Chai Shah, but we're worried about Chai Shah the Chumrah and not the Kula. In other words, in this situation, if you say that you're worried about the Chai Shah and therefore you can't go to this person because he might finish you off, and as a result of that you'll lose the Chai Shah, but if you don't go, you're certainly going to die. And therefore the Chumrah, we say the Chai Shah Lechashina, and then you're allowed to go because there's a chance that he might kill you, there's a chance he might finish you off, but there's a chance that he might cure you. And this is very Negei Lemaisa, the difference between the Chai Shah and Chayvam, and that is that if there's a potential for somebody to be cured, a reasonable potential for some medical intervention, the person is very ill and some potential medical potential for curing him, then even if it's a risky intervention, you're mechuyav to do that. So if somebody needs, let's say, an operation, a bypass operation, he's ill, without it, he's at risk, even though the operation itself carries a risk, you're mechuyav to do, within reason, undertake a certain amount of risk in order to develop, to get a chai oma. If in any case the intervention will only give you a short amount of time, so somebody who's never got terminal cancer, and the question is getting chemotherapy, which might prolong his life for a short amount of time, but in any case it won't cure him, then, and it carries a risk, then you're not mechuyev to do one risky procedure in order to risk a short amount of chai shah that you have without it, and obviously may die quicker because of it, in order to get a longer chai shah. And that is generally unanimous among the poskim, that you don't risk a short chai shah, you don't have to risk a short chai shah in order to give you a longer chai shah. But you do have to risk a shorter chai shah if there's a potential of giving what's called chai olam, that the disease could actually be cured. If you have a condition which could be cured by chemotherapy, even if it carries a risk, then you would be inclined to do it. And that can be running a mouth. I remember once, many years ago, I had this showing once on a Shabbos afternoon, and I didn't really think of it in those terms, but there was somebody who was very ill, never was terminally ill, it was clear that he was only going to live perhaps another few days a week, and then he started having massive bleeding on a Shabbos afternoon. And the question was, will they transfer him to hospital, did he get blood transfusion, and he might then survive another few days or weeks like before, or whether to leave him be, because in any case he was in the terminal phases of his illness. And I went on that Shabbos afternoon to our two prominent local rabbonim, and they both said exactly the same thing to me. It's very interesting. They both said to me, is there any risk at all of moving him to hospital? And certainly there was, because his blood pressure was low, and it may be that the process of actually moving and taking him to hospital itself might cause him to die quicker than if you left him home. They said, if there's any risk at all of taking him to hospital, then you can't risk those few hours that he might survive if you leave him at home in order to give him an extra few days by taking him to hospital. And they both said, therefore, that he should be left that you should at home instead of bed. And that's an important principle to remember, that risky treatments are something totally different from what we're basically discussing today, and that for a chayei shor, one's not mechuyev to do risky treatments, and certain circumstances may not be permitted to do risky treatments. So based on these Mara Makoma perhaps, I can just then spend a few minutes just going through a few principles of in halacha. Again, that's not passing halacha, but just an attitude to see how the possum takes. The first thing is that what we call active euthanasia, doing anything which will actively shorten somebody's life, is definitely awful. We saw that even in the case of the Joseph, and Ra says you're not allowed to do anything which will actively shorten a person's life. Every moment of life is sacrosanct, and shortening it is a murderous act, independent of how long amount of life that you're shortening. Withdrawing treatment under certain circumstances, we see, according to certain poskim, may be permitted. And the criteria we saw, that if a person is in pain or suffering, right, that was the criteria which was clear from the Ramah, and from the Gemara was ready, that the criteria seems to be because the person is suffering, and the Ram said that clearly, that in cases where the person is suffering, there may be a hetzer not to give certain kinds of treatment. We saw Rav Allenberg says, whatever the circumstances, one still mechuyev to always treat the best one can, to do anything which one can do to prolong life. But Rav Eliashiv is quoted in the Mishnah Savron, the Imam of Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Quran is Igrisa, and Shlomo Zalman says the same thing, and Mr. Shlomo all basically say the same thing, that if somebody is suffering and they say that they don't want any further treatment, and you've explained to them what it is and what the treatment can offer, and they understand the situation, and they still say they don't want a certain treatment, they say you should try to persuade them to take treatment to the best of your ability, but if the person still says that they're refusing treatment, they don't want treatment, then there's no fear to give them treatment against their will. Rav Moshe, on the other hand, Rav Moshe says that in these circumstances where the person is suffering and they don't want treatment, you shouldn't even persuade them. There's an issue to give them treatment. You're not allowed to try and force or persuade or get somebody to take a treatment against their will. In other words, if all you're doing is prolonging a state of suffering, obviously, hopefully one can give palliative treatment, painkillers and whatever, to try and reduce the suffering. And if you can control the suffering, so the person is known medically, so that now the person is no longer in a state of suffering, then obviously he goes back to having the criteria of somebody who's not in pain and comes out of this criteria altogether. But where the pain is difficult to control, and certainly you see from all the possible emotional suffering is equivalent to pain, where somebody is in a state of suffering, according to Ramosha, one is not allowed to prolong that state of suffering just in order to give a temporary prolongation of life. Again, making clear we're talking about here people who are terminally ill, where there's no prospect of actually curing the underlying condition. So that's the machlokes in the poskim, but the rosh poskim of today, would say that one is not mechuyev to treat, but one should try and persuade a person to take treatment if that exists. What about when a person is unconscious? If somebody's in a coma, then again, Rav Moshe's got a very good chiddush, and he says that the state of coma, based on that remark about Ketisa, the state of coma is itself a state of suffering for the nefesh. The fact that the person, the nefesh, is not going out and the person's alive, but there's no consciousness, itself is a state of suffering, and therefore, Rav Moshe says the criteria which you mentioned before apply equally to somebody who's in an irreversible coma. Whereas other poskim, Tidra Rav Eliashiv, says no, somebody who's in coma is not suffering, and therefore one would be mechuyev to give all treatments, whatever treatment one can do, one would be mechuyev to give as far as it's practical, even if the person, as far as we know, has got an irreversible coma. Again, Rav Shem Zalman's brought mention as well, saying that it's not necessary to do your best to extend a terminal coma. If somebody's in a terminal phase of the illness and they're unconscious, you're not mechuyev to give treatments that artificially extend that degree of terminal coma. So in the circumstances where we said there may be some hesed to withdraw certain treatments, what treatments can we withdraw? We should be clear about this. All the possible states to give a person food, water, oxygen, one's mechuyev to do under all circumstances. What to do about food if the patient won't eat or can't eat is another complicated matter, because many possible would be mechuyev to put down a tube and feed them artificially. Ramosha says that under certain circumstances, if the food, the way of giving the food itself is painful or uncomfortable for the patient, one may not be mechuyev to do under all circumstances. But most possible hold that one has to do whatever one can to be able to give the person water, nutrition, oxygen, and so on. But medications, again, if a person is in terminal illness, almost all Pakhtim say, and then there's some side thing, so they get a chest infection which could be treated. One's mechuyev to give the antibiotics to treat the chest infection, but one's not mechuyev to give, let's say, chemotherapy or some condition, some medication to prolong the underlying terminal illness. But again, there's some disagreement among the Pakhtim about that. Doing cardiopulmonary resuscitation in these circumstances, very specific circumstances, most possibly would say one's not mechuyev to do, primarily because it doesn't work in any case. It would virtually be unknown to have a successful long-term result of a resuscitation in a patient in this kind of terminal illness that we're talking about. And the very vexed question of disconnecting respirators and so on, I don't want to go into today because that's a very, very complex issue which really needs to be discussed with Rabbanim. Situation. Just to make it clear then that the condition for withdrawal of any treatment is that number one, there must be no question about the prognosis. If some doctors think that there may be something one can still do and that there may still be a chance of curing this illness, then none of the things that we've mentioned apply. The second one must be that the patient is conscious, wants the treatment to be withdrawn. And the third thing is that under all circumstances, supportive care must continue. You can't just say, well, leave the patient alone and let them die. One has to still do everything one can to keep the patient comfortable and support them as best as we can. But there is, again, which here all the Pakhtim of Vandalov, who is the most machmir in these inyanim, stresses that there is this question what's called double jeopardy, which is that if you're treating somebody with the intention of controlling their pain and their symptoms, even if that treatment carries a certain amount of risk of reducing their life, one's definitely mechuyev to do that, because part of treating these patients is to try and keep their pain and their symptoms under control, and that's as important in a way as prolonging their life. And therefore, even if there is a certain amount of risk, you might suppress their respiration, as long as it's not you're going to give an injection and then going to drop dead that moment. But any treatment, even if there's a certain amount of risk of shortening their life in order to control their pain, one certainly requires to do everything one can to control the person's pain and symptoms under those circumstances. And the other thing which should be mentioned is that things like dementia in someone who's otherwise healthy does not really come into this discussion. There's no reason to say that never somebody who's demented is in pain, and one within reason and where practical, obviously practically something's very difficult to treat for patients who don't understand what's happening, but never people who are demented really want to go to chiyuv, according to all Pakhtim, really to treat them to the best of one's ability under all circumstances. Finally, just the question of tefillah, coming back to where we started from, and that is that most Pakhtim say that one is allowed to be mispallel under certain circumstances, like Shorku should have rachamim. There's even a nusach tefillah which is brought down past years how a person should be mispallel, what a person should say, that a person should, under certain circumstances, like Shorku should have rachamim and save a person from further suffering. Rav Wallenberg says that Rav Wallenberg is not even happy about that, about people being mispallel. There are other shivas who say that it's offered for relatives to be mispallel because they may have other issues and other concerns, but somebody from the outside, if you see somebody suffering from the outside, they're allowed to be mispallel. The patient himself, according to almost all the poskim, it's mutter for the patient himself to ask Kodesh Baruch Hu to have rachamim on them if that's what they want to do. Just to stress once again that the idea of this was not to give any pisgei halacha, it's just to really give a brief overview of the way one has to look at these things. Unfortunately, these things happen frequently and one's faced with them, and obviously in all these things one has to consult with the Da'at Torah, and one has to take these matters extremely seriously. And that's why I thought it might be appropriate just to finish by reading a few words from Tshuva of Rav Moshe. As we've seen throughout, Rav Moshe is the one who's most makel in these inyanim of all the poskim of withdrawing treatment under all circumstances. But he stresses, Etzam ha-nidon hu dover godol ma'od, bein me'etzam ha-chroos ha-din shu dover godol, or b'achrayat ha-be, b'chol inyan shu tzorof iyon godol ma'od. He says three times, any psak in this needs iyon godol ma'od. Bein me'etzach ha-nidon hu bin yomi pukor nefesh v'chai odam mamish. V'tzorof l'kabit kol tamah chosn she'esh. To make these decisions, one has to get together as many tamid yechachom as possible, but tzirov roi to mumchim, Shishayah, Shiyu, Shom, anybody who can be there. Sha'av, Yesh, Kavas, Shah, Hashem, Yisbarak, Yisim, Daf, Lahiris, Binyakimiyakomubadah. So these matters are extremely serious. You can't come along and say, oh, I heard in the Shia, you can do this and do that to the other. Every situation has to be taken with the utmost chamiras, but nevertheless, one has to realize that there are situations that it's not absolute that in every case one has to rush in and do everything possible in every situation. It has to be done with Hasbara Sin, with Tefillah, like Hashem Baruch Hu should give one the skus that one should make the right decisions, and with the Tefillah, in Yitz Hashem, we shouldn't be faced with these situations at all, and that we should all Tefillah Hamavis L'Netzach with the B'Yaseh Tzedek.